بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي، وانفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا وانفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. إخوان، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I hope everyone's well, inshallah. I kind of missed these sessions. Last 2 days, we were doing other programs about different rulings about zakat and i'tikaf. But really, Ramadan is for tafsir of the Quran. So I felt a little distant from reading the Book of Allah and trying to understand Allah's message. So I feel really happy to get back to this. So, mashallah, I'll just give everyone a quick recap. The story of Surah Hud, right, the entire surah, is, I'll explain about the central focus. We went over a couple of prophets so far. Went over Hud alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam. We have had, mashallah, about 17 or so sessions so far. Alhamdulillah, and we've covered a good bulk of the surah, up to ayah number 78 or so. Okay, the entire message of Surah Hud, we're talking about what is it designed for. It was the focus of how a prophet's job is to warn people. And the idea about warning is that there is a time where the warning has been given, and finally the time limit has been set, and so the people will be given the destruction right after. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Prophet of Islam, be patient and do your job. Don't cut it, don't shortchange it, do what you were required to do, and doesn't matter what people are going to say afterwards, your job is to convey the message and accept that if the message has been conveyed, your job is done. Okay? And so this is the central message. If you remember the first ayah, it was said, "Uhkimat ayatu thumma fussilat." That there is, the ayats are fortified. The ayats are, you know, they are grounded. They're given a central message, okay? And then afterwards, it is explained tafsilan, you know, it is explained. So the Quran's approach is to remind us through various examples. And so the Quran will use role model after role model, prophet after prophet, sister after sister to explain all these different concepts. And that's actually why that the stories of Nuh, Hud, Salih, Ibrahim alayhi salam have come to explain this idea that, look, the job of the messenger is just to warn. And so Allah Ta'ala says this has been done over and over and over again, countless times throughout history, okay? And so in that way, Ibrahim alayhi salam's story, the last one we just went over, was a reminder of that reality, that as a prophet, you have to accept that if there's a nation going to be destroyed, then there is the command of Allah Ta'ala behind it, and Allah Ta'ala's wisdom is there. And so we saw that acceptance in Sarah alayhi salam. So she's made as the example for all of mankind, all Muslims till the Day of Judgment. They could see that example of a sister, of a Muslimah, who accepted Allah's decree. And so she laughed because of it. Okay? And Sarah and Ibrahim alayhi salam were also that couple that is the representation of a couple that struggles through everything and it pays off. And this also has a connection with the Prophet sallam, and Khadija radiallahu anha. And so that is another example that we could find in the life of the Prophet sallam, where the Prophet has to struggle every day and night, you know, and even his wife has to go through a lot. But they're being shown by Allah Ta'ala that don't worry, endure and embrace the struggle. You know, the children that come from Khadija radiallahu anha, right, are the ones that live after the Prophet or during the life of the Prophet sallam, and they're the ones that continue his progeny, right? So there is a deep connection within Ibrahim and Sarah alayhi wasalam for the Prophet sallam. There's much more. If you put your mind to it, you'll think about it and you'll see even more examples, because Allah has made this, again, a tafsil, a beautiful explanation for everything. Okay, so the next section that we're going to be talking about is the location of Sodom, the area of Sodom, which is the area of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, I gave you these pictures just so you can get an idea about what we're talking about. It is the lower part of the Dead Sea. It's going to be a tragedy. You know what's going to happen at the end. But this is the location where they say possibly it is, right? There are a couple of maps I want to keep for myself, which I'll be looking at later. Just showing you that it's in the border of Jordan and Israel, right? Or in the modern day Israel, rather. And so this is actually that area. And so the most important thing that I want everyone to note was that the Makkans or the Qurayshis, right? The Qurayshi people, when they used to do their trade, they used to go to Yemen, they used to go to Sham or Syria, right? This entire area. And so they actually used to pass by the Dead Sea. And so this is something we got to keep in mind, that the people who are businessmen, they pass by this area. And Allah Ta'ala actually tells them that and says that you all pass by it day and night, night and day in your business travels. Why aren't you taking a reminder about those people who disobey and don't listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's being told to them very clearly in the Quran. It's in a surah to Safat about that. وَبِاللَّيْلِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. And so yeah, so this is the area here. It's most likely in that area. So the angels actually come from the area of Canaan or Philistine in the left side, because they were coming from visiting Ibrahim alayhi salam. And right after, they immediately go to meet Lut alayhi salam. Okay, so they go from the area of the Philistine, the Canaanites area, and moving down towards the area where Sodom or the area of Lut alayhi salam is. Okay, so the Bible has a very convoluted thing. If you think I'm going to share you Bible quotes today, I'm not going to, because I can't even myself as a Muslim, as a genuine person who has some deep love for Islam, I cannot even look at that story with a straight face except get frustrated and angry. Because the way they treat Lut alayhi salam, the way they speak about him, is almost as if he's not a prophet. You know, just give you an idea. Even the fact that he is going to Sodom and Gomorrah is not because he was sent as a messenger. They say the reason why he went to Sodom and Gomorrah is because he looked at the land and he said he wanted more property. I have no idea how that even makes any sense, okay? So they treat Ibrahim alayhi salam and Lut alayhi salam as if they're from two different worlds. They look at Ibrahim alayhi salam as an exemplar, as a person to copy and imitate. And they look at Lut alayhi salam as the guy who Allah didn't give anything to and things like that. La ilaha illallah, we're free from those things. Just giving you an idea, so that way you yourself can avoid the story too. And there's even worse things. That's literally just the tip. I'm not even joking. It is the tip of the iceberg about what terrible things they say about our Prophet, Sayyidina Lut alayhi salam. Okay? So I want you to note, just understand how prophetic he is. That's the point of the story. The reason why I want to tell the story from Surah Hud. Okay? His story is throughout the Quran. One day I hope, inshallah, that I can do, you know, give a little bit of proper justice to his story, to bring all the ayat together and give you the full biography of Lut alayhi salam from the Quran. It is my hope, inshallah, one day to make it happen, so that Muslims can get comfortable with this topic of homosexuality. Because for some reason, we have a really big problem with just declaring something to be wrong and still respect a human being afterwards. I don't know how, you know, we hate the sin, not the sinner, right? It's the same exact concept here. Just because we believe it's a wrong thing doesn't mean that we're going to change our beliefs now because you don't like what I believe in. You know, it's the same way, like, you might not like my Islam. And I tell this to people that come to me and have this question. They say that, how could you say you don't like a homosexuality? I'll say, no, it's in my book. My Quran says it. I believe it. You know, it's Allah's word. I said, do you like me being a Muslim? They'll say, nah, but I respect your decision. I said, yeah, same thing. Okay, like, I don't like what you're doing, but I'm not going to go and put a, you know, whatever to your head and try to, you know, whatever. Look, we can talk about things and we can discuss things, okay? It doesn't mean you have to be intolerant of one another, but we can have this discussion. If you're just going to shove your ideas on my throat, then you're just forcing me into a religion. I thought we can't force other people to believe in other things, you know? So keep that in mind. Inshallah, one day I hope to do it in proper justice. But I just want you to note for our discussion today about the level of prophethood, the magnificent prophet that is Lut alayhi salam. وَلَمَّا جَاءَتْ رُسُولُنَا لُوطًا سِيءَ بِهِمْ وَضَاقَ بِهِمْ ذَرْعًا وَقَالَ هَذَا يَوْمٌ عَصِيبٌ. He goes and says, and when our messengers came to Lot, to Lut alayhi salam, he was anxious for them. سِيءَ بِهِمْ. Okay? وَضَاقَ بِهِمْ ذَرْعًا. And so the literal translation, ضَاقَ بِهِمْ ذَرْعًا, it means that a person who feels so tight, he can't even move a hand forward. In other words, feeling powerless to protect them. وَقَالَ. And then he said to himself, هَذَا يَوْمٌ عَصِيبٌ. This is truly a terrible day. This is a truly terrible day. What does he mean here? It says, سِيءَ بِهِمْ. In Arabic, when you say this, سَاءَ بِهِمْ means like you are disgusted by someone. سِيءَ بِهِمْ, it means that you are feeling miserable because you see someone there. Okay? You're miserable because of the situation that another person's in. Lut alayhi salam looks at these people that just came into his town, and he sees how attractive they are and how handsome they are, and they're men. So he is bugging out right now. He's telling himself, my God, they're here. And what's going to happen is the community is going to find out. Once they find out, they're going to do the worst things possible to these people who've just come and they just need some help because they're travelers. So Lut alayhi salam, by the way, when that messengers came to Lut alayhi salam, they were in the vicinity. Lut alayhi salam actually rushes them to his house. He tells them to come in as quick as possible because he's terrified for their life and what's about to happen to them. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah are wretched people. They're evil people. They're going to commit such crimes and such indecencies, as you'll find out. So Lut alayhi salam was so worried about this going to happen to these travelers that he actually asked them and says, come to my house quickly as fast as you can. But he says, وَضَاقَ بِهِمْ ذَرْعًا. Allah Ta'ala explains to us to understand the feeling of Lut alayhi salam. That the example of ضَاقَ بِهِمْ ذَرْعًا in Arabic is when you have a camel that's so heavily loaded, there's too many things on the camel, it can't even take a step forward anymore. ضَاقَ بِهِمْ ذَرْعًا.
to the point that he can't move anymore. Lut alayhi salam, after seeing this, feels the burden and pressure from the area of Sodom and Gomorrah, the people there, feels the pressure of his prophethood, feels the pressure of his humanity, and looks at these human beings in front of them about to be tortured and abused, doing such wicked crimes that they're not even willing to do, you know? And he just feels so miserable. I can't even move a hand to help them. I have no power here. I have no support here. There's no one to take care of me here. He is put in the, and I'm telling you, if it's a wicked nation, if it's a bad nation, you send the best man that you have for the job. And I mentioned this before. If it is the worst nation in all of mankind, you're not going to send someone low ranked or low level there. When Allah chose Lut alayhi salam to go to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, he chose the best prophet for the job, the best messenger that he had that could take care of that responsibility, and the softest heart, because when you're dealing with people that are sinners, you need a very soft heart. You can't have someone who's rude. You can't have someone who's mean or aggressive. You need someone who's as nice as possible. So Lut alayhi salam is this compassionate prophet. So he looks at these people and he says, "Ya Allah, I don't have any help for them. What can I do right now?" Life is becoming so tight for him. So the only thing you can do, you know, when you want to help so bad, you know, you look at the Yemenis, you look at the Syrians, you look at the Burmese, you look at the Uyghurs, you look at, you know, the Kashmiris, you're looking at all the world and you want to help so bad, but you can't. And that's what Lut alayhi salam is experiencing at this moment. I just want to help. And the only thing that he could say is, "Hadha yawmun asib." The word asib is a beautiful word. It is the word, when you're looking in Arabic, if you look in the books of fiqh, they talk about the isaba, or the asaba, the thing that a cast, or something you tie to something, to, you know, when you fracture something or break something, right? You can wipe over it, right, when you have to make wudu. The word asib here is used because it is a day that you feel tied down. The same way a cast or a wound is tied down. There's nothing else you can do today. You're completely wrapped up, completely in chains and in shackles. It feels like today, because when you are tied up, imagine you were like, you know, put in shackles and chains. You know, it just wears you out. These chains drain you. You feel like there's no energy in you. So he's like, this is a day that is going to tire me so badly. There's nothing else I can do today. And the second thing is what? The idea that when you're tied down, how can you move, right? As if I can't even move a finger anymore. There's no more help today. What can I do? Yet this is the thing about a prophet, is that he cannot turn away a guest. Subhanallah. At this moment, you would think, as a rational human being, about what's about to happen, is that these people, Sodom and Gomorrah, are going to do the worst things possible to get these men. And at that moment, you would think about yourself, you think about your family, you think about your house, you think about everything, me, myself, and I. But a prophet at a time is only thinking, ummati, 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 my ummah, my ummah, my ummah. So at that moment, he says, "Ya Allah, I cannot turn away a guest." This is against their nature, against their fitrah. If someone comes to my door and they need some help, they want some food, they need some support, I'm here to help them. This is what a prophet does. And this is Lut alayhi salam, an extraordinary individual. The same way Ibrahim alayhi salam had these guests and he rushes them in the house, Ibrahim alayhi salam is very comfortable, right? So he can provide for them, he can give them whatever they want. Lut alayhi salam is worried about their lives right now. Forget about food and drink. He's like, "We gotta save your skins, guys. Come inside." So this is against the nature of a prophet to reject anyone who comes to their house. They will help anyone and everyone that comes to them. So this is the situation Lut alayhi salam is in. He rushes them into the house. The word gets out. The scholars mention that it's possible that the wife of Lut alayhi salam is the one who informs the community. We don't have an expression in the Quran or any way of understanding how the message got out. But it seems like his wife was the one who informed the community that there are certain men and my husband is hiding in the house. Because she herself was not in agreement with her husband. She was a kafira, a disbeliever. Okay, this is one of the wives of Lut alayhi salam. وَجَاءَهُ قَوْمُهُ يُهْرَعُونَ إِلَيْهِ You tell you the level of Arabic here, it just sometimes just throws me aback. Like I hope one day, inshallah, that everyone just, you know, work a little bit just to study Arabic, 6 months, a year, just to get a little bit of grasp of the Arabic language, you know. وَجَاءَهُ قَوْمُهُ يُهْرَعُونَ إِلَيْهِ وَمِنْ قَبْلُ كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ قَالِ يَا قَوْمِ هَؤُلَاءِ بَنَاتِي Okay, let's go over this. وَجَاءَهُ قَوْمُهُ His community, his people came to him. يُهْرَعُونَ إِلَيْهِ Yuhra'un is the Arabic word when you use when a person is like a person who's in chains and they're being pulled in the direction of the way that you're pulling them, right? So the prisoner is being pulled in the way that you want them to go. Allah Ta'ala uses this expression to explain how the people of Lut alayhi salam coming into the house, they are storming in, they are charging in as if they were dragged there. That's how fast they're coming in, without any warning, without any invitation or any message to Lut alayhi salam. They're storming in the same way you pull someone towards you, the same way these people are rushing into the door. وَمِن قَبْلُ كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيَّاتِ. And before this, they used to commit foul deeds. They're not coming in because they want to be good guests. They don't want to be hosted by Lut. You know what they're coming in for. Allah Ta'ala says that you know what evil things they do and things they just did. Certain haram acts they just did. And now they're willing to do it again. So Lut alayhi salam sees this. They're rushing into his house. He's trying to defend his guests and protect them. Innocent human beings in his eyes. And he goes and tells them, Ya qawmi, ha'ulai banati hunna atharu lakum. He says, Oh my people, my beloved people, these are my daughters. Remember, Ya qawmi? Oh my beloved people, these are my daughters. They are more innocent to you. They are more innocent to you. And this expression has confused a lot of people. So I want to make sure I flesh it out and make sure everyone understands the interpretations behind this expression of why he said about my daughters. هَأُولَيْ بَنَاتِهُنَّ أَطْهَرُ لَكُمْ. Let me tell you the main reason in terms of what we understand, okay? This is, in order to understand what's being said, you need proper context. You always need proper context. If you understood the context, you understand the content, okay? If you understood the context, you understand the content. When we're talking about these words here, what is it being applied here? You just barged into my house, okay? You just walked into my house. I'm a Muslim brother, okay? You probably will have the same experience. You have a wife, you have daughters, right? You just stormed into my house. What do you think my reaction is? You know, you just came into my house, and I understand. I completely understand. You know, Lut alayhi salam didn't say, "Hey guys, I'm a prophet of Allah. I'm the messenger of Allah. You know, don't yell at me. Don't shout at me. Don't disturb me. Don't bother my guests." He didn't say anything like that. He said, guys, I understand you have something against me. I'm not even highlighting me right now. I want to highlight something else. You're going to do this to me, but are you going to disgrace my daughters too? They are innocent human beings. They are innocent women. They're in my house. How do you come into a person's house like that? You know, the type of culture that these people come from, the type of culture that Muslims have in general is, you don't go into the sister section. Okay, there's no etiquette of going. The etiquette is what? Of going to sister section is what? You don't go in the sister's area. Ajeeb people we have in certain communities that they'll literally peek into the sister's area. Ya Rabbul Alameen, may Allah forgive us about these peeping Toms. I'm not going to call them any peeping Thamuds. Allah forgive us. You know, the type of people that we have, that people are looking into these areas. You're not allowed to even go in. You're not even allowed to step foot. The woman is sacred in Islam. You know, the fact that you can look at someone is a blessing. It is a gift. That's why you're not even allowed to look at our sisters. They're beyond your gaze, okay? They're beyond your look. Their homes are their sanctuary. How dare you barge into a person's house like this? So Lut alayhi salam says, please, for the height of indecency, hunna atharu lakum, these are my innocent daughters. Are you really just going to storm into my house? Does that make sense to everyone? This is the height of disrespect. You know, forget about a prophet. That is a high caliber. A human being deserves better decency, better dignity than this. How dare you storm into my house and disrespect my daughters? This is the first way of looking at it. And this is already extraordinary. In terms of the way that we're looking at it, we understood the context about a person who has a home and he has daughters in them. How can you ever storm into my house and just, you know, start, you know, doing whatever you want here? Allah forgive you. The second way of interpreting, and the beautiful way, again, it's the level of prophethood here. If you'd like, instead of this, I give you a second option. You can marry my daughters instead. Okay? Lut alayhi salam had two daughters. So he says that, brothers in my, you know, my brothers in humanity, if you like, instead of this stuff, you can have this instead. Imagine this. And I want you to think about your own, put yourself just in your own perspective. Imagine the worst people of all, you know, the guy with tattoos, the guy who drank, the guy who smoked, the guy who literally committed zina and all these terrible things. You know, such wretched people are coming. Imagine this, the worst of people. And they're coming to your house, you know, and they're off asking. Imagine this, they just came to ask, can I marry your daughter? Okay. And again, I highballed it here. Let me lowball it for you. He comes from a different country. Oh, forget it. I was with shaitan. This is like shaitan right now. Imagine this, the worst of people is offering to, they requested to marry, to get your daughter's hand in marriage. You would have flat out reject them, okay? Now, I want you to understand the Prophet Lut alayhi salam, what level he's on. He's trying to help them come to the right side, even if it means that I can marry off my daughters to you. If it means that you will make a tawbah to Allah, and you ask Allah for forgiveness, and you say, Ya Allah, forgive me, and you become a good Muslim, Lut alayhi salam says, I will offer my daughter's hand in marriage to you. Subhanallah. Forget about the person coming to offer. Lut alayhi salam himself is offering. He's saying, if you understand what kind of khandan, what kind of family I come from, I'm willing to give this to you if you will just become a good person. Okay? No one in all of existence could do that. No human being. I challenge you. Find any human in the world that the worst type of, whatever type of human comes to their house and says, can I get your daughter's hand in marriage? Would anyone ever give their daughter? No. Even if the person said, I make tawbah from all my sins, forget it. No one would. No one could do that. Only a prophet, alayhi salam, could. This is the caliber of human being we're talking about when we're talking about Lut alayhi salam. Okay? And the third interpretation of this, hunna taru lakum, is that these are my daughters, i.e. the women of the community. And this has a lot of strength if you're looking at the Quran as a whole. In other places where Lut alayhi salam is speaking, it seems like he's just referring to, guys, you have your own wives. You know, you have your own wives. They're women in the community, right? Sodom and Gomorrah is made up of men and women. The woman, you can just marry the woman. You know, and to a prophet, what? All the people are his sons and daughters. He says, "Haulai banati," you know, guys, you have a lot of women here. You can marry them. Hunna taru lakum. These are better for you than these men. Why are you going to come and do this haram act when you have these beautiful women in your community? You know, go and marry them. Fattakullah. So he goes and tells, and these are the proper ways of understanding it. And the reason why I want to go through this properly is because I feel that certain times we open the Quran and we get mixed messages when we look online. We don't find things that we want to find. So I want to make it clear for anyone who had a doubt about what Lut alayhi salam was saying. The strongest opinion, according to me, what I understood, my humble understanding, is that he just told them that you barge into my house. Forget about offering daughters. He only has two of them. How can he ever, you know, how could it ever be enough for all the men that just came into his house, right? It only makes sense that he was just telling them, like, look, can't you have any decency in front of these innocent women in front of you that you're just going to storm into my house and do such atrocities right now? So these are the proper ways to understand this portion. And you never want to lower the status of any prophet, whether it's Yunus alayhi salam or Lut alayhi salam or any prophet in the Quran. If you're not understand, if you're thinking them as a sinner, you're thinking them as making mistakes, la ilaha illallah, we're not even looking at the prophets in the right way. Make sure that you, when you speak about a prophet, you hold them up to the highest caliber, the highest esteem, because that's why Allah Ta'ala chose them, because they have that high character. Okay? And they give us that understanding. Fattakullah, so Lut alayhi salam says, so have fear of Allah. Imagine this, at this moment, they came into his house and he's just saying, please fear Allah. Please fear Allah. وَلَا تُخْزُونِي. Please don't disgrace me in front of my guests. You know? Please, like, just, can't you just, is there any more humanity left in you? أَلَيْسَ مِنْكُمْ رَجُلٌ رَشِيدٌ. Is there no reasonable person left amongst you? That you just literally just came into my house? You're doing all these terrible things? I have mehman here, I have a guest here, my daughters are here. Allah is watching, like, is there no more humanity left? Sometimes I feel like this when I talk to my Muslim brothers. Sometimes I look at them and say, don't you have any more rahmah? That you yell at kids? You yell at sisters like they're your own women? La ilaha illallah, like they're your own wives? Astaghfirullah. Like, how can you yell at people like this? Are they not human beings? You yell at them like animals sometimes. It hurts my heart so much, honestly. I feel like people don't have any more reason left. Alaysa minkum rajulun rashid? Is there no reasonable man here? That just, okay, they're human beings. All right, okay, we have to be a little strict, but can't we be nice about it? What happened to being nice, you know? Even our messages to people are so rude. Don't come here. You're not allowed here. La ilaha illallah. Allah give us understanding. So he goes and reminds them, these are my guests. How can you do this to me? How can you do this? Okay? Storm into my house. Disrespect everything. You know, everything's made messed up, right? And look at this. You know, at this moment, I'm pretty sure every single one of us, if a man stormed into our house like this, I don't know what I would do to him. Okay? I don't know what I would do to him. I'm being real honest, you know. Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet said, if someone were to see your wife, you know, the Prophet asked Sa'd radiallahu anhu, said, if someone were to see your wife, what would you do? The Prophet, he told him, Ya Rasulullah, my ghairat wouldn't stop me, my self-honor wouldn't stop me from killing the man. You know, like that, you know, like, this is how much, like, hatred, like, such anger would come out of a person, of a man, at this moment, that you disrespected me this hard. You forget it. We're finishing out Mortal Kombat style right now, you know. The thing is that, at this moment, he's not lifting a hand against them. He still says, Ya Qawmi, my beloved people. Because the Prophet's mercy and kindness and tenderness is beyond whatever people could understand. And it's only a sample of how merciful Allah Ta'ala is. If you understood that, you understand how merciful is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That even at this moment, he's still not thinking, maybe I should hurt them. Maybe I should push them out. Maybe I should fight them. None of these things are coming to his mind, just thinking, my beloved people. Okay? قَالُوا لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا لَنَا مِنْ فِي مَرَادِكِ مِنْ حَقِّ إِنَّكَ تَعْلِمُ مَا نُرِيدُ. Okay? So Lut alayhi salam goes and says that the people respond to him. They respond in the worst ways. They say, you already knew. لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ. You already knew. مَا لَنَا فِي بَنَاتِكَ مِنْ حَقِّ. We don't have any desire for your daughters. Okay, note the word. For those who might know some Arabic, حَقِّ is a word that they use. But you translate it here as having no desire. He said, we have no desire for your daughters. وَإِنَّكَ لَتَعْلَمُ مَا نُرِيدُ. And you surely know 100% what we want. You know what we came here for. Lut, stop playing games. Stop beating around the bush. You know what we're here for. Okay? This is the ajeeb thing that when they use the word haq to describe their lack of desire. They said that this is our right and this is our purpose. Okay? This is our right. This is our purpose. The fact is that we have no purpose towards women. Or we have no right towards women. You know, it's a very ajeeb thing. And I just, you know, there's no right at all for us in your daughters or any woman. You know, there's no inclination within us towards women. You know, and this is very ajeeb. And I feel like it's, you know, that's why I tell people that if you look in the Quran, every argument or anything that people say is it right in there. You know, as if they're telling Lut alayhi salam, you know that we were made like this without any inclination. It's the haq. It's the reality here that we don't have anything by nature. You know. The same type of ajeeb arguments we hear today about people claiming the same exact things, same things you'll find in the time of Lut alayhi salam. And people would just say, we are made like this, that we have to love men, or we have to love the same gender or whatever. I mean, that's what they're saying, but this is what they also say, okay? وَإِنَّكَ لَتَعْلَمُ مَا نُرِيدُ. Okay? You know what we want. They tell Lut alayhi salam that first of all, we were designed like this. Secondly, you know what we want. Now here's the thing, okay? They describe it as an innate desire. They say that we definitely desire this and this is built into us. But then they say that we crave it. We want it, you know. In life, you have needs and wants. So needs are built in. I have a need to survive. I have a need for food. I have a need for drink. Those needs you need to survive with, right? That's the way you survive in the world. In terms of wants, like chocolate and cupcakes and all these sweets and all these things that will ruin your iftar by talking about it right now. You know, these wants we have in life, there are good wants and bad wants. You know, they tell Lut alayhi salam, yeah, it's a built-in desire. They should have said we need it. But instead of that, instead of saying they need it, they said we want it. Okay. Now, if it's something you want, not everything that you want is good for you. And you can work past these things. If a person has a bad addiction, even though their body is craving it, they want it so bad, it's not something they need. And they can work past these wants. So they literally tell Lut alayhi salam, yeah, it's built into us, but we just really want it, you know. So Lut alayhi salam's response to them is a very logical response, right? Just tell them what? It's a sin. It's a mistake. You can work past it. You can work past these wants. The same way we work with every person who's stuck on a bad addiction. We just tell them, brother or sister, you can get past it. It's not something you need in life. It's something you want in life. And with the wants in life, you can always change them. Even in the words, it doesn't make any sense. You know, their message is conflicted. And I find the same thing when I discuss with people today. I don't find their message to be on one platform. It seems like it's all scattered all over the place. They don't even themselves know what to say, you know? So is it a gene? Is it genetic? Is it something by nature? Is it by nurture? What are you trying to tell me here? Can you come up with some logical platform that we can discuss on? So Lut alayhi salam, he knows what they want. Lut alayhi salam knows 100% what they want. Yet he encourages them every single time to stop. You know, they're coming into his house. And even at this moment, he knows what they came for. But he says, let me just try one more time. Maybe it will help. Look how compassionate and how gentle Lut alayhi salam is. He's an amazing prophet. This is the height of the sadness and the grief of Lut alayhi salam in the story. This ayah here is the height of the grief of Lut alayhi salam. He says, "Lo anna li bikum quwa, if I only had some power over you, if anything I had over you, just something. You know, if I was, my family was superior to yours, or I had some money over you, or some authority over you, or, you know, just some actual strength over you. You know, if I had anything over you, if there was anything," this is legitimately the saddest point, where Lut alayhi salam is now just saying, Ya Allah, where am I right now? Allah, where did you send me? Like, I'm in Sodom. You know, Ibrahim is my uncle, and he's all the way over there, and look where I am. I don't have any power here. I have no authority here. I'm trying to call these people to Allah, but look at them. They're so, you know, badmashi, so bad. They came into my house and they stormed in. This is the saddest point. Like, I don't even have the right to kick you out of my house because I'm a prophet. As a prophet, I have to be kind to you. There's nothing else you can do at this moment. Imagine this. People in front of your daughters are about to commit the worst indecency. You know, he's thinking they're about to do the most haram thing right in front of his daughters to make them look at such terrible things. You know, at this moment, what can he do, Lut al-Islam? The whole world had caved in on him as if there's nowhere else to go. At this moment, where are you supposed to go? Where do you turn to? There's no one else in life for you. So at this moment, what is left? And this moment, he makes such an amazing dua. Just, it's not even a dua. It is a cry of the heart. And this nadamat, this feeling of the heart, is the greatest dua ever. This is a dua. أَوْ أَوِي إِلَىٰ رُكْنٍ شَدِيدٍ. Or I could rely on a strong pillar. If there was some support left in life, what is a pillar for? A pillar in a house, make sure the roof stays up. No matter what happens, if there is an earthquake, the pillar is strong, the earthquake won't even move the pillar. This is what he's asking for. At this moment, he's just talking. He's just speaking and saying, if there was only a strong pillar I could rely on. And by saying these words, and sometimes this emotion comes in our hearts too. Ya Allah, I wish I just had something, you know, or just what can I do at this moment? I'm stuck. I have nowhere else to go. I just need a strong pillar, something to rely on. A person, a friend, a family, a government, you know? A government is a pillar. It's something or someone that doesn't budge. And there's a clear indication, a clear reminder, ishara to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There is an ishara, an indication to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about changing the world. Sometimes it just requires, in order to stop the evil, you need a strong government, you need a strong power in the world. It's a highlight to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which we'll cover on to another day, inshallah. But we want to see what Lut alayhi salam was calling to. Aw awi ila ruknin shadid. Forget about every pillar in the world. Lut alayhi salam says, Ya Allah, I'm relying on you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, he highlighted it. This is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam. Rahimallahu Luta, laqada ya'wi ila ruknin shadid. May Allah have mercy on Lut alayhi salam. He surely relied on a strong pillar, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam said, Ya'ni Allah. He relied on Allah. At that moment, there was no other pillar. No other fortification, no other strength in the world other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm stuck in my house, Ya Allah. I'm being disrespected in my own house. Ya Allah, who can help me right now except for you? His guests are there. And this is what happens at this moment. And you know, we've been talking about this for a while. But we haven't spoken once about the guests. You and I know 100% who these guests are. These guests are not human beings. In the entire time, he thought they were humans. And we know for a fact they weren't humans. So they inform him what? Ya Lutu inna rusulu rabbik. Oh Lut, we are the emissaries, we are the messengers of your Lord. Lay yasilu ilayk. They shall never reach you. They shall never touch you. They won't get near you, won't get near your family, they won't touch anybody. This is Allah's rule that no one is allowed to touch the messenger once the help arrives. This is why we definitively, as Muslims, we say, the Isa alayhi salam was never touched by the disbelievers. He was never put onto the cross because Allah Ta'ala will always help his messengers. This is his rule in the world. No one is allowed to touch the messenger once help arrives. So the people tried to jump forward, and the books have mentioned various things. When they tried to come towards his guests or come towards Lut alayhi salam, the angel stepped forward and they blind the people. It's mentioned the heat or the light that comes out of these angels, it burns their faces off and they all like die straight up on the ground. You know, they all just drop dead. It's ajib about the way that these angels, they said, look, no one's allowed to touch the messenger once the help arrives. So they tell Lut alayhi salam, so move with your family in the part of a night and none of you shall turn to look back. Illa mra'atak innahu musibuha ma'asabahum. It will befall her, whatever will befall them. So they told them that quickly, in one part of the night, just a little bit of time you'll need to get out of here. Get out. Don't look back, don't turn back, don't regret, don't think about it anymore. Same thing every prophet was told, that the punishment is here. Don't ask any more questions, except for your woman, except for your wife, you know? Except for that one woman who, like we told you, that she was a kafira, she was a disbeliever. They said that whatever was going to hit the people of Sodom is going to hit her. Inna maw'idahum as-subh, that they said that the deadline is the morning. Lut alayhi salam, the morning is near. Isn't it not near? Get going, there's no more time left. You spent so much time trying to speak to these people and convince them. It was a long discussion he's having with them, trying to talk to them and reason with them. No reason is getting through to them. They said, Lut alayhi salam, there's no more time left. Get going. Get out of here. So Lut alayhi salam packs his whatever he can, brings his daughters, brings his family, brings whatever. He takes them with him and they head out. They go out. When our command came, we turned it upside down. The same way these people have inverted humanity by saying that this is a way that human beings need to live. Literally, even evolutionists, people who understand evolutionary theory will tell you that human beings, if they mate with themselves, are going to destroy themselves. This is a genetic disaster, you know? So the way they inverted humanity, Allah Ta'ala flipped them. The same way that they inverted reality, Allah Ta'ala flipped them. He flipped the entire city upside down. It's mentioned Jibril Aleyhisselam came with his wing, and with his wing, he picked it up with the tip of his wing. He took the entire community of Sadum, took them up to the first heaven and slammed them straight down into the ground. وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِ حِجَارَةً مِنْ سِجِّيلٍ. Then Allah Ta'ala says, we rained on them stones of baked clay, of brimstone, mandood, layer upon layer. It's such a beautiful description about, you know, if we just look at the Arabic here, asib is something which is tied down, rukun is a strong pillar, mandood is something which is fortified. You know, there's just ajeeb, like, connection with these words, one after the other, you know? And it's Rabbul Alameen. Layer upon layer, musawwamatan inda rabbik. It has been marked from your Lord. And there's a deep connection with this, about it being nailed with stones, layer upon layer, one after the other, about these people here. There's a deep connection as to why the crime, the punishment fit together. I'm not going to mention it because I don't know if there are little kids in the room. I don't want to weird you out. In any case, musawwamatan inda rabbik. If you're saying that this is genetic, musawwamatan, these stones are also by nature. You know, they are marked by Allah. They are designed by Allah for each one of you. So they were literally like projectiles for every single person in the community. This one of these stones came and shot them down. وَمَا هِيَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنَ بِبَعِيدٍ. And this is the last part. And it is not far away from the wrongdoers. Again, the people of Mecca, like we spoke about in the beginning, they are so close to the people of, they go through Sham all the time, back and forth. So Allah Ta'ala reminds them and says that these people of Sadum are not far away from you. Don't mess with my Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't speak bad about him. Don't disrespect him. Don't you dare step a foot into his house. Don't you ever disrespect my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a deep, deep, deep reminder for the people of Quraysh. And may Allah give us that understanding about the love that we should have for every Prophet. The love that Lut alayhi salam had for his people. May Allah give us a sample of that love for our communities so we could work for them so that way they can develop to become better people in the future, inshallah. And may Allah make us all the best, inshallah, in this month of Ramadan. And the grant us all tawfiq. Inshallah, that will continue from the next story next time, inshallah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.